Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
The Christian employee should be the most conscientious, hardworking, dependable person in any corporation. This, my friends, is one of your greatest opportunities to witness, to show people what it means to be a Christian, to exert your energy and your efforts to fulfill your job. And people will notice that. Everything you do in your occupation, you should be able to do it as unto the Lord. And let men see that testimony.
How do you view your job? Is it secular or sacred? Today, Dr. Bob Wood discusses in a very practical way the measure, manner, and motive of our daily work. Here now with today's message is the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the third chapter of the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, I'll read verse 22 through verse 25. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not as unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. This little third chapter of Colossians is a very powerful and interesting passage of Scripture. It speaks to us about men's duties. It talks about our duties to God. It speaks of a husband and wife and our duties within the family of the husband to the wife to the husband, the duties of the father and mother to the children and the children back to the father and mother, the duties of those who are employed, the servants to those who employ them, the masters. So this chapter is filled with duties, but we want to focus on these last few verses that talk about the Christian employee and his responsibility to his employer. Now, there's one central truth that you must understand to get this passage in context and to apply it correctly to your life. And I pray to God that everyone in this auditorium will apply the truth in this passage of Scripture to your life. Because I promise you this, if you recognize and apply these truths, it will give you a great deal of peace and joy in your future employment and what God calls you to do. That foundational truth that everyone has to get affixed in their mind is a truth that is somehow or another difficult for us to get a hold of. That's this truth. There is no difference between the secular and the sacred. Listen carefully to that. Dr. Bob Sr. wrote this many, many years ago. For a Christian, life is not divided into the secular and the sacred. To him, all ground is holy ground, and every bush a burning bush, and every place a temple of worship. It is natural for us to divide our lives and say, okay, I'm a Christian. As a Christian, I go to church. As a Christian, I do my devotions. As a Christian, I help other people and I give to the assembly of God. But as a secular person, I go to the movies. I do all the other things that I enjoy doing in life. So we compartmentalize our lives. God never meant it to be so. He means for us to be Christians every day in every area of our lives. There is no secular and sacred to the Christian. Everything is sacred. Let me read you the definition of these two terms so that you might get it firmly affixed in your mind. Secular. Pertaining to the present world are things not spiritual, relating to things not immediately or primarily respecting the soul, but the body. The term basically means worldly, sacred, something holy, pertaining to God and His worship, separated from common secular uses and consecrated to God for His service. You are to be consecrated to God every day of your life as a Christian. So there is no secular and sacred for you. Everything is sacred. All ground is holy ground, and every bush a burning bush. And your relationship with God shows through, no matter whether you're a husband or a wife or a father or a daughter or a son. You have to be consecrated to God and live a holy and a sacred life. It's pretty simple to see that the Christian doesn't have two worlds. He only has one world. And it's so unfortunate that many Christians never learn that one central truth. You can't get very far in your spiritual maturity and spiritual growth if you try to live your whole lives dividing the world into these two parts and going back and forth between the two. And quite frankly, most Christian young people, and my guess is that most of you sitting under the sound of my voice this morning, are trying to live in those two worlds. But my young friends, you're going to spend the rest of your lives working. Who will you work for? If you're a Christian, you'll work for God. Regardless of the place from where you get your check, you will work for God as a Christian, and every day is an opportunity to witness and fulfill the principles of God. This passage of Scripture gives us some really powerful truth and very simple principles that are easy for us to understand. First of all, the measure of our work. What is expected of a Christian worker? You live in a society where the productivity of the average worker is down 50% from what it was 50 years ago. If you look back at the Great Depression, people worked harder during the Depression than any other time, and our measurement of physical work today is less than 25% of what it was then. We have unions to represent us today. We have all sort of holidays and ways to get out of work. That's the thought process of the secular society in which we live. It is not the Christian perspective. Here are the expectations. Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Obedience in all things. As a Christian, you understand the principle of authority. There are those in charge and those under the direction of those in charge. In the family, it's the same way. In all areas of the Christian life, God set up a chain of command. And this passage says the expectation for a Christian in his employment is that he be obedient to those that are your authority in all things and do all things well, this passage of Scripture says. Well, you say, what if I am in an organization and I'm asked to do something that is contrary to biblical principles? Well, if that comes up, and that will come up in the life of every Christian, then you have to have the courage to go to the person in authority and tell them why you cannot do that. And if they insist that you must do that, you resign. You simply do not work for an organization that requires you to do anything that is contrary to Scripture. Now, that's a hard thing. Because we think about our money. I know the first company that I worked for had some regulations about alcohol. And they were pretty strong against alcohol and the use of alcohol. And I used to entertain customers. And I had a very big account that I'd been after for a long time calling on this man. And I invited him to lunch one day and he agreed to go. We went out to a restaurant in Atlanta, sat down to eat. And the first thing he did was ordered a cocktail. This was a very profane man. He cussed and carried on, and here I am, a Christian in business. But I knew that I was not paying for that drink. I was buying his lunch because I invited him to lunch. One of the hardest things I ever did in my life as a young man was to look at that customer that I wanted very badly and say to him, I'm paying for your lunch, but I'm not buying your drink. And he laughed and he said, what? And I said, I'm a Christian and I'm opposed to alcohol, and here's why. And he laughed. He said, well, I'll not only pay for my drink, I'll pay for your lunch. Then I won't be obligated to you. I said, that's fine. Very difficult thing. You know what happened? Less than 3 months later, about 3 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang and I answered the phone, and it was that potential customer. And he was crying, and he said, would you meet me down at the Waffle House? I need to talk to you. I said, sure. Got out of bed, got dressed, went down to the Waffle House and sat down with this man. And he said to me, this is the most miserable day of my life. I had a son graduate from high school last night. And he and one of his friends and their two girlfriends came by the house to change clothes, and they were going to go out on the town. He said, I told them how expensive it was to buy drinks, that you'd pay $1.50 or $2 for a drink. And so I didn't want them to spend that kind of money, and I knew they were going to party at graduating from high school. So I reached in my liquor cabinet and gave them a fifth of bourbon. He said, just about midnight, just about 4 hours ago, I got a call from the police department. They said, your son was driving down the South Expressway. They were drunk. A truck stopped in front of them, and they drove up under that truck. Your son is dead. It killed two people in the front seat. Those in the back seat are hurt very badly. This man was crying uncontrollably. He said, I see what you say about alcohol now. I said, let me take this opportunity to tell you about the Lord. And we went through the plan of salvation. And he didn't pray to accept Christ. But you know what he did do? He became my very best customer. He gave all of his business to our company. We often talked about that terrible experience. What are you going to do when you're faced with alcohol? You're to be obedient to your employer as long as it doesn't violate Scripture. The execution, Titus chapter 2, verse 10, not prolonging or holding back, but showing all good fidelity. Not holding back. You do your job with all your energy, with all your effort, with all your enthusiasm. You don't hold back, with all good fidelity. That means with conviction of honesty. I'm doing what I'm doing with great conviction of being honest. Serving the God of heaven no matter what job I have. No matter where I'm working. So that's the execution. You do it with full conviction and all your energy. What about excelling? You determine to excel in your job. Ephesians 6, 7. With goodwill, doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men. The Christian employee should be the most conscientious, hardworking, dependable person in any corporation. This, my friends, is one of your greatest opportunities to witness. To show people what it means to be a Christian. To exert your energy and your efforts to fulfill your job. And people will notice that. And people will ask you why. Because we live in an age where people do everything they can do to get out of work. Well, secondly, the manner of your work is in verse 22 and 23. There's some negative instruction here. Not with eye service. Don't try to fool your employer. Eye service. What does this mean? It means working only when someone is looking. Working differently when someone's watching you. Many years ago, when I first went into business, very young man, I was 22 years old, and the president of our company said, Bob, I want to take you on a trip and show you a little experiment. In the trucking business, the freight is moved at night across the dock, loaded from the city trucks that pick them up, out to the road trucks, and then the incoming road trucks are unloaded and staged, loaded in small trucks to deliver in the city. And all that's done at night, all night long. So we left late in the evening and drove to Macon, Georgia. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we're walking up and down the dock and we're talking to the employees. How are you? How's your family? Well, the measurement of work then was pounds per man hour. How many hours you paid the men and how many pounds of freight they moved would tell the proficiency of that crew. So we went from Macon to Savannah. The next night we did the same thing, stayed up all night. We went from Savannah to Augusta and we stayed up all night there watching the people on the dock, talking to them. We went back to the office in Atlanta and my wife said, "Well, how was your trip?" I said, "Well, I hadn't slept for 3 days and three nights." She said, "What did you do?" I said, "Nothing." We walked up and down the docks and we talked. A week later, he called me and said, "Bob, I'd like for you to do something. Go down to the operations department and get the nightly pounds per man hour for the whole week for each of the terminals we visited. Get a piece of graph paper and graph how many pounds per man hour moved across those docks." I was so amazed when I got through with that little process. You know why? The nights we were in the terminals, the pounds per man hour went this way. I would have expected them to go down, not up, because we were talking to those people, mixing with those people. My boss, Mr. Claude Brown, sat there and he said, "Now, do you see what this is teaching you? It teaches you a good side and a bad side. Number one, it teaches you that men will work when you're looking at them, when you're watching them. They're aware you're watching them. And that's human nature. So your constant relationship with your employees will have a lot to do with the productivity you get from those employees. That's human nature. There's a good side to it. The good side is they saw that management cared about them and they were glad we came and talked to them. But the productivity went right through the roof. Why? A lot of people are just working with eye service for you to look at them. They want you to notice them. But when you're not there, they don't work. A lot of you have jobs on this campus. What do you do when nobody's watching? How much work do you produce when there's not a supervisor there? That'll tell me something about your Christianity. That'll tell me something about your character. How hard do you work? Don't try to fool the employees. Don't flatter the employers. Men pleasers. This is translated from the Greek, men courtiers, politicians. Men who are politically trying to work their bosses into believing something that's not true. The Bible tells us don't do that. Christians are not politicians within the workplace. Christians are not trying to put forth a false image or a false impression. And then there are some positive instructions. Those are the negative instructions that I told you. Don't try to fool your employers. Don't flatter them. Be honest. And then the positive instruction, with sincere hearts, in singleness of heart. This is such an interesting phrase. I could spend the rest of my time here, but I won't. The term here in the Greek literally means folded together. Let me tell you about your future employment. You should be folded together with the cause and purpose of wherever you work. You should become one with the cause and purpose of the company. Look at our society today and look at how companies work with labor unions and this sort of thing. They're not one. They're antagonistic toward each other. Well, that's where productivity's gone. Here, you need to be folded together. God will call you to a place of employment where you can do the most good for Him, the greatest benefit for the ministry. And it should be a place that you can put your heart in, that you can become part of. I see so many men miserable in their jobs because they're not capable of putting their heart into a company that doesn't have the right moral or ethical principles. Don't fall into that trap. Life's too short for that. I was thinking last night as I was working on this message, I've spent 55 years working for other people. And I look back over my work career and I say, thank you, Lord, that in every instance, I was in a place where I was in singleness of heart with the people who had employed me. There's nothing any more rewarding than that in life. It doesn't have to do with the money. It has to do with a sense of a purpose and accomplishment in life. This is what God wants us to have, young people. I'm talking about biblical Christianity this morning. It affects every area of your life and particularly your long-term employment. With sincere hearts and heartily, I like this word. It means with special interest. With personal interest and personal enthusiasm, you need to have a ministry, whether it's a job in the world's workplace or in the ministry. It's all a ministry for you. But you need to have a place where you have a personal interest in that place. Even when I was in a secular business, in the trucking business, I was always interested in the people and the profits of that business. Life's too short to work in a place you're not interested in a job you don't like. And do you know most Americans work in places they're not interested in jobs they don't like? This is not the way God means for life to be. This is the devil fooling men. The motive for our work, verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord God. There are three planes of reward. This is the motive. You think, wow, you mean I'm working for some reward? Yeah, you don't go to work for a company unless you check and see if you can feed your family. That's a reward. That's a financial reward. And when you set out as a Christian to work for God, regardless of the company He called you to, there's rewards for you. First, there's the eternal plane. Romans chapter 2 and verse 6. God will render to every man according to his deeds. Look what Revelation said. Behold, I come quickly and I bring with me my reward to give every man according to his work shall be. You fulfill your calling properly and there are great rewards to you from God. That's the eternal plane. They go right on into heaven. And then there's the evangelical plane, regeneration. Titus chapter 2, verse 10, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Let me tell you about the evangelical plane of rewards in work. No matter where you work, you should be winning people to Christ. The way you apply your task causes men to know you're different. You're Christians. That opens a door of opportunity. In this little passage that I just read you, in Titus says that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Your manner of work is your testimony to adorn the doctrine of God, to dress it so that it's presentable to other men. This gives you great opportunities to witness. The workplace ought to be a place to witness. Now, you may have to find a way not to be so direct in your witness, but you need to witness in the way you work, in the way you make application of biblical principles in your everyday life. And then there's the ethical plane, the respect. My father used to say to me, son, nobody has to like you, but everybody has to respect you. Carry out your business in a manner that you earn and have the respect of those with whom you work. That they know you're an honorable and an honest person. There are times you have to make hard decisions. There are times you have to fire people. There are times you have to correct people that are slackers. And these things all hurt. And they're pressure-ridden incidents within the workplace. But if it's done in a biblical manner, with a proper explanation, it brings respect to the person that's fulfilling their position correctly in the eyes of God. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Wow, what a testimony. They, in their application of their faith, worked in such a way that people looked at them. Titus chapter 2, verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in everything you do. Now just think through your work experience. How many times have you failed to show forth a pattern of good works or biblically centered works? You see, that's your testimony, my young friends. That you carry with you all your life to the grave. What kind of a person you were. The last thing I want you to see in this passage of Scripture is the Master's judgment of our work. Verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Your whole working life, your whole working career is going to be judged by your God for the manner in which you did it, for the enthusiasm you showed, for the testimony you had. God takes particular interest in you and your future in this area. Ephesians 6, verse 7. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Everything you do in your occupation, you should be able to do it as unto the Lord. And let men see that testimony. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. The reward will be there. Revelation 22:12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. So, my friends, there's a day of reward for those that have worked properly through their lives. Revelation 14:13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You hear that? I'm not talking about just working for today. I'm talking about working for eternal principles, for eternal rewards. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's the truth for each of you. A day of reckoning, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. Every man's work shall be made manifest, or put out in the open for everyone to see. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Listen to that. You can be born again, saved, and not fulfill God's calling in your work, in the manner of your work, the method of your work, the witness of your work. This is so important. And I know, standing here in this pulpit this morning, that many of you have started off on the wrong track. You've tried to separate your work into the secular, not realizing that it's sacred unto the Lord. You may work with eye service, waiting for people to see you as men pleasers, being political. That's all wrong. It's right here in this little bitty passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's our responsibility. The Christian employee and his responsibility to his employer explain so thoroughly in these four short verses. Now you know these principles. What will you do with them when you leave here? What kind of employee will you become? And what will your life amount to in your service for the Lord? Whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Father, thank you for this book, for the truth in it, for the lessons we learn from it. Help these things not to fall to the ground, but to be applied in our lives. For someday we'll all stand before you, Lord, and we'll give an answer for all the things we've done in the flesh. So God, direct us and help us. And help us as we seek to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. A powerful reminder for us as believers that all our work should be done for God's glory. Today's message was preached by the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood. We invite you to join us again next week for a message by the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones. Chapel Echoes is an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.